Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is how to not get divorced. And it's basically just a way of exploring the most important relationships in your life and how to make them more wonderful. The numbers to call if you'd like to talk to me on air, 1-866-254-1579. It's toll free, 866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. I'll be going to the phones in just a minute, but just want to talk about this idea. I mean, obviously, how to not get divorced. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek as a way of talking about relationships, but sometimes, you know, sometimes that's just where your head's at. You know, it's all well and good to talk about having wonderful relationships, you know, but if things aren't going well and you really feel like, God, is it too late? Do I even want to make it work? You know, that's the time where the kind of skills that help make a good relationship wonderful become even more important, because they're the same skills that will help make a relationship that isn't working, that will give it the best chance of working. And there's a phrase that I read a few years back in a wonderful book called Take Back Your Marriage by William Doherty. And he talks about low-conflict marriages. And a low-conflict marriage is essentially a marriage where people basically get along, but maybe there isn't as much intimacy as they'd like, or there isn't as much compatibility as people would like, as much common ground. There isn't as much time spent together as people would like. Maybe there are a couple of fundamental disagreements, and it, most of the time you can get on, but those fundamental disagreements have just finally gotten to the point where you can't get past them. And those are the kinds of relationships where sometimes they wind up in divorce because people think, well, I want more than this. You know, it's almost like a consumer mentality. Hang on, you know, I didn't sign up for this. Get me something better. As opposed to a creator mentality, which is, how do I create in my marriage, in my most intimate relationships, my committed sexual relationships, how do I create the kind of intimacy, the kind of connection, the kind of companionship that I'm looking for? The same things apply in other relationships. So, you know, we can talk about this in context of your business relationships. We can talk about this in the context of family relationships. There's just some fundamental things that just make the difference with people. And as I say, I'll be going to the phones in just a couple minutes, but I want to take a little time to set the table. If you want to get in, the number's to call 1-866-254-1579. It's toll free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. So think about a significant relationship in your life. So it might be your spouse, or it might be one of your kids, or maybe your boss or somebody that you work with. But anyone who is a major player in your life. And here's my question for you. Have you made the decision to do what it takes to make that relationship wonderful? Now, you know, somebody would go, well, I never even occurred to me that that was a decision I could make. Fair enough. But if you could make that decision, if I could wave my magic wand, would you want to, would you make the decision to make that relationship wonderful? Now, the opposite of that is waiting to see how things turn out. And at first glance, wait and see kind of makes sense as a way of approaching relationships, because we don't control other people. And damn it. And even, you know, even your best effort to make things work, they might fail. But the problem with the wait and see approach to a relationship is that if you wait long enough, you're bound to see things you don't like. And so once you've made that decision to create a wonderful relationship, at that point, you're going to start tapping into your own higher wisdom. You're going to start tapping into things that aren't accessible to you when you're still playing the wait and see game. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about whatever you want, having what you want in any area of your life. Let's begin with Marion in Rockford, Michigan. Marion, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today? Hello, Marion. Are you there? Going once. Oh, hello.
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 Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
I have been married for 12 years, and for 7 years it was perfect and wonderful. And my husband is a great person. He's one of the nicest people I know. But he had an acute major depression in September of 2002. And in October 2002, I ended up having to do somebody else's job for 6 months along with my own. And then in November, I had to put a cat to sleep. In December, my dad died. Well, my husband's still sick. He's under psychiatric care. He takes several medications a day, and I'm just worn out. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I can stay in this, but when it's mental illness, you're dealing with another type of person. He's not even the same person I married. And so I was kind of like thrown into the caretaker mode, and it's almost impossible to get back into the partner mode. It's been since 2002, and he's still disabled. I mean, it's affected our whole life.
Okay, so Marion, can I ask you a couple questions?
Yes.
Any dead pets this month?
No, there was one in September and one in November.
Okay, and the reason I ask, I mean, look, I'm dealing with my cat is sitting there looking at me, knowing I'm about to talk to him because we.
I have six cats left in my
You know, baby. So I do know that I understand. So when I begin to make fun of you, it's not because I don't get how important our pets are.
I am a cat person.
No, that's fine. So the reason I bring that up is because you made a list of things that happened in your life, and I assume that you made that list to kind of let me know that everything in your life is not smooth right now.
Well, that was in 2002.
Oh, okay. So that everything was not smooth then. So then here's my question for you.
But he's still sick, and I'm tired
right.
of it.
Sure, I got it. He's sick, you're tired. You're sick and tired. Okay,
yeah.
So but here's the question. If, put him to one side just for the moment.
Okay.
Are you happy in yourself and in the rest of your life?
I am happy in myself. I am happy in my dad. I'm happy in my life, except for with my relationship with him.
Okay.
Because
so when he's not on your mind, which may not be much of the time, but when he's not on your mind, you're pretty low stress, feeling pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
No.
That's important. The reason that's important is because if that wasn't the case, then before it would be worth addressing anything to do with how you relate to your husband, we'd need to relate to that. So that's why I wanted to check that.
No, I have activities, I have friends, and I don't let my life be on hold anymore. So I go out dancing and I do things with friends. You know,
okay,
so
let me ask a little bit more about when you say, and I'm going to do the qualification now,
sure.
Which is my lack of qualification in terms of I'm not a medical doctor. So, you know, I'm going to ask you about a diagnosis, but what I say about that will not be medical advice.
Oh, sure.
What is, when you say mental illness and incapacitated?
He has acute major depression, and he is disabled.
I'm glad it's cute. I'm sorry, that's a terrible joke, I know. but what is that, how does that manifest itself in terms of his behavior? You know, is he catatonic? Is he functional?
He was for the first couple years. The first year when all that stuff happened, the following year, it was like he didn't even know that Abby had died. He didn't know my dad had died. And,
right.
You know,
it was
like, today's the day that, you know, my dad died, your dad died, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then I actually was able to go on a vacation with a friend as a guest, and I needed to get away.
Sure.
And it was just a great vacation, but he drove me nuts, harassed me on the phone, just calling me constantly. And,
okay, so
you know,
at that point, he's no longer catatonic if he's harassing you on the phone.
Yes.
Right.
But see,
okay.
First when this all happened, I mean, he was at a point where he didn't want to be here anymore when this all happened. And this is the most well-stable, balanced person you'd ever meet. You know.
Okay, and he has had medical...
He's under psychiatric care.
Okay. Okay, fantastic. So,
he's never had inpatient. But he is definitely under psychiatric care, and he's under medications.
Do you guys communicate? Do you guys communicate at this point? In other words, you know, is he capable of having a conversation?
Yeah, but the thing is that I think that he really he's messed up like the finances. And finally, he told his doctor, his psychiatrist, I'm having a problem caring about anything that I need to care about. So now they're changing his medication. Well, meanwhile, I'm having to clean up that. He's very selfish, I think. He's gotten selfish.
So here's what we're going to do is we're going to focus on Marion. Because he's not on the phone with me. If he was on the phone with me, we'd be talking about...
No, and thank God he had to run an errand, so he's not even...
Yeah, you know, we'd be talking about that darn Marion and what she's up to with the cats and everything. So let's just talk about, for you,
yeah.
You know, what would you like, if you had a magic wand, what would you create with it? If you could just have anything you want happen, what would you have happen?
I have been trying to figure that out. What I don't want is the way things are going to continue, but I don't know that I'm interested at this point in that relationship.
Sure. Okay.
So this, it's been like caretaker.
I don't even need an explanation. Whichever way, this is the most important question.
Okay.
Because when you've got clarity for yourself about this,
yeah.
If your decision is that what you really want is to create an intimate, loving relationship with another man, or to simply live on your own as a single woman, then there are a whole host of things that will follow that will become kind of obvious as you go. Things will fall into place. If what you decide is, you know what, actually, if I could wave my magic wand, what I really want is to get back and make this wonderful again. And I might not be able to do it, and there might be a limit as to how long I'm willing to work on doing it, but really, heart of hearts, that's what I want, then there's a whole other set of things that will fall into place. And there's a whole other set of things that will shift simply through the clarity of intention that will come from that. Because right now, what you've got is, you've got, oh, I kind of want this, but this, ooh, but I'd be a bad person if this, ooh, but yeah, but that. And so that's what the universe is going to give you back. It's like, well, she doesn't know, so I'll wait till she's done. And when she's ready, then we can give it to her.
I feel like, for one, you know, when you make those wedding vows, they mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like there's room for anybody else in a relationship until you're completely legally done with a relationship. So there's none of that going on.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
But that's
about behavior. That's about what you decide to do.
I think that it would be easier to make a decision if he had ever done anything, if he was abusive, if he cheated, or, you know, something that would give me a reason to make a decision. But right now, I feel like he doesn't want to participate in certain activities. He doesn't want to participate in things. I'm not interested in doing things that he wants to do. So for myself, I don't know that I would have the strength to go through that type of an emotional break.
So now here's the thing, Marion, it would only be an emotional break because you would create it from a place of emotional insecurity. In other words, if you were at peace with your decision, he might get emotional, but it wouldn't be an emotional break. So this is the thing. If you decide that what you want, and again, I'm not trying to steer you either way here.
I don't know enough
about your life to do that with any sanity on my part. But what I can tell you is that if you decide that you really want to make this wonderful, to make this work, to bring this back from the dead, as it were, then one strategy that is a little bit unusual, it's not the kind of, this is not generic advice if you're listening to this. This is probably not my advice for what you should do in your relationship, but I'm talking to Marion right now. Is to what we call precipitate a crisis, which would be to say, look, I love you. I can't stand you right now, but I love you. And I really want to make this, to get back to, you know, maybe not what we were like, but to get to a good place in our relationship, because my marriage vows meant a lot to me, and I think they meant a lot to you. However, right now I feel like I'm doing this on my own. And so I would like us to get help. I would like us to get marriage counseling. I would like us to, and you know, obviously you have to pick somebody who you really respect the way that they counsel, that they're not kind of saying, oh, you're right, Marion, you should just get rid of him. You know, you got to find somebody who's up for it. But from that point, and then say, and if you're not up for participating in this with me, and I get that it'll be hard for you, but I'm going to be there with you if you are, then I think we need to begin to explore divorce.
Okay.
Now, the
that
reason why I'm saying, right, because that's what all you're doing. The reason I call it precipitating a crisis, and it's just a tech, it's not my term. It's a phrase from the field, is because you're doing it with intent. You're not doing it because you're just saying, look, if you can get yourself up enough to participate with me in saving this marriage, I want to save this marriage. If you can't, I respect that, and I respectfully choose to go my way. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that sounds like a more reasonable, less painful way to go about it.
Maybe. Well, the reason it's less painful is because you're not coming in there with all your reasons why he needs to change. You're just saying, this is what I want. If it's what you want too, let's do everything we can to make it work.
See, and the thing is I never get to be alone other when I'm in the car between work and home.
Okay, so that would be the other thing. We're coming up on a we're coming up on a break, so I'm gonna have to let you go. But just
okay.
the last thing I wanna give you is make that time. Whatever you have to do to get it. Because you
I wanna
be home alone. You need time to hear you need time to hear yourself think, and whatever you need to do to get that time is worth doing. All right, thank you so much, Marion.
Thank
we're gonna
you
be back.
So much for
You're
me.
Very welcome. We're gonna be back with more of your calls, more thoughts on how to not get divorced and make your life work after this.
Get on track. Get what you want. This is You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Hey, welcome back. We are talking about how to not get divorced and how to create a wonderful relationship. And the numbers to call if you want to get in are 1-866-254-1579. It's toll free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. I'm going to go back to the phones in just a minute, but I wanted to just talk a little bit more about some general principles. And there's really three key distinctions between a relationship that you've actively decided to make wonderful and one where you're passively waiting to see whether or not things are going to turn out the way you hope they do. And one is what I call choose the battles versus my way or the highway. So in any relationship, there's going to be some non-negotiables. In other words, it's worth having a few boundaries, usually to do with physical and mental well-being. That's a personal one of mine. It's like, they hit you, you leave. That's where I feel about that. Those are the non-negotiables. But what's interesting is it's in the wait-and-see relationships that boundaries tend to not get enforced. You know, you'd think, well, if I've decided to make it wonderful, I'm going to put up with more. Actually, it's the opposite. In what I've seen with my clients, it's when you make your decision, I want to make this wonderful, the non-negotiables are completely non-negotiable because there's no way you're going to have a wonderful relationship that involves abuse. In the wait-and-see relationships, well, they only abused me a little. I mean, you know, I know that sounds silly or maybe that sounds horrible, but some people have said this to me. I mean, one person said those exact words. You only abused me a little. You know, that comes from that, you know, maybe it'll get better tomorrow. That's a wait and see. So, you know, when I think about outside of a marital relationship, you know, if my son sticks out his tongue at me and calls me a name, I might not like it, but, you know, I'm not going to stop being his dad. If a potential business partner stuck out his tongue at me and called me a name, that might be the end of our working together. So that's one thing. Choose your battles versus my way or the highway. Another one that's a kind of a key distinction is the difference between fixing a problem and fixing a relationship. When you decide to make your relationships wonderful, what you work on is enhancing the process of relating. And if there's a problem, you know, you do what you can to address the problem, but you diminish its importance in the context of, you know what, we want to have a wonderful relationship. And yes, we need to work through this. If you have problems in a wait-and-see relationship, and any time you get two human beings spending any amount of time together, you're going to get conflict. If that conflict arises, a problem arises in a wait-and-see relationship, instead of evaluating the problem, you kind of reevaluate the relationship. It's like every time something is less than perfect, I don't know if I should be with this guy, I don't know if I should be with this woman anymore. Once you've made the decision, right now, my intention, my commitment is to make this relationship wonderful. At that point, if there's a problem, you'll deal with the problem, not overhaul the whole relationship. Third distinction, I'm going to get back to the phones in a minute. Numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll free, 866-254-1579. Care versus overcare. There's a wonderful book called The Heart Math Solution. Those of you who listen to the show a lot will have heard me mention it before. And the author, Dr. Lou Childre, He talks about a distinction between care, which is the natural feeling of love and well-being that arises in us in response to certain situations, certain people, and just really as part of being alive, as opposed to overcare, which is what most people call care. It hurts because I care. I care so much I want to die. That's overcare. That's when you've put your happiness and well-being and made it dependent on the other person. I can only be happy if you're happy. Now, that's a noble sentiment. It doesn't work that way, and you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself up to be miserable, but you're also setting yourself up to fall out of your relationship. Because when you're waiting to see how your relationship turns out, it's easy to get caught up in that. You take everything that doesn't go your way as a personal attack, or you get caught up in these loops of argument and adrenaline and anger, and it's just really, really tiring. So I'll talk a bit more about that in the third segment. I want to make sure I get some of these phone calls in. So let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Catherine in New York. Catherine, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
The reason why I'm calling is I have a 19-year-old son.
Okay.
And he's my only child. And from the day he's born, because he is an only child, I really raised him to be very, very independent. Now we're at a point, I mean, he's only 19, but we're at a point where there's, like, almost no communication. Sometimes I feel like I'm living with a stranger.
Right.
And I don't know how to combat that. You know, I want him to feel that he could come to me for anything. He could discuss anything with me. I've always been open and honest with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I'm, like, at a loss. I just don't know what to do.
Now, is he still living at home?
Yeah.
Right.
He's in college right now. He's in his second year of college.
Okay. And is that cool with you that he's still living at home?
Oh, that's fine with me.
Okay.
We live in New York, and it's just so costly here. That
right. No, no.
It'll be a while before he'll ever be on his phone.
You know, look, I've had it both ways. I've had parents who are thrilled that their 30-year-old is still doing laundry at the house, and I've had parents who go, look, see this calendar? I'm crossing off days till they're 18, and I can kick them out. So I just wanted to check.
No, I have no problem.
Okay. Now, this is the first question that comes to mind to ask, so I just ask it, is... is he on, to the best of your knowledge, any kind of drug?
No, not at all. That I could almost guarantee.
All right, that's fine. And the reason being that that is one of the most common reasons, particularly between the ages of about, it can start pretty young now, but, you know, let's say 13 to 20, why somebody's behavior starts becoming more and more erratic.
Yeah. He's very much into computer games. He's got these online games. He's got, like, a whole group of friends that he plays when he goes online. He goes out with his friends. He's pretty normal for his age, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever asked him how he feels about living at home?
He hates it. He can't wait to go out.
Okay. So here's I don't know why I'm doing things this way today, but I am, darn it, so bear with me. Here's a conversation that I can imagine. And you tell me when you hear this conversation. This is not, by the way, a script. I'm not saying this is what you should say. But I want to see what this prompts in you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's a conversation I can imagine having. Hey, son. Let me do it. Hey, son. No, okay, I'll do it in my guy voice. Hey, son. Yeah, mom. this could go really, really wrong. Bear with me, and I'll try and make it all the way through the entire phone call. I know that you don't really want to live here anymore.
Yeah.
But unless you actually want to do something like go out and make the money to go live somewhere else, you're going to be living here for the next couple of years, right?
Yeah.
If we are going to be sharing a roof, if we are going to be living together, then I would like us to have a relationship that doesn't consist of occasional grunts. First thing in the morning and last thing at night. Is that something that you'd be willing to explore further? When you think about having that kind of it's a pretty straight conversation, not necessarily harsh. You know, you're not saying stop being this way or you shouldn't be this way. You know, how do you think that would go down?
Honestly, I've had almost a similar conversation with him because I have already told him sometimes I feel like I'm living with a stranger.
Right.
And he goes, well, I don't know what you want from me. You know, my whole life, I'm here. I go to work. I go to school.
When he said to you, I don't know what you want from me, did you say, oh, I'm so glad you asked. Here's what I want. I want once a week for us to sit down and have a meal together. I want, you know, some basic communication here. If you're going to have friends around, I want. In other words, did you tell him?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and how did that go?
He's like, you don't need that. You know, he's very, he's so opposite of me sometimes because I'm very warm, emotional, you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. He's like a stone, you know.
Okay.
And I know that's a little bit of a barrier too, but I could deal with that a little bit better than like the non-communication.
Let me ask you two questions, and I think I would predict I know the answers, but I want to ask them anyways.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, do you love him unconditionally?
Oh, exactly.
And does he know that?
Yes, he does. We'll
okay, fantastic. Second question. Would it be preferable to you if you could deal with all the stuff it's going to bring up for you, but in your heart of hearts, would you rather, if he could move out, that he did, than carry on the way that you are?
At this point, no. I couldn't see him moving out because I don't think he's mature enough to be on his own at this point. So I'd rather stay the way it is and try to reach him in some way than to have him go out.
So then just
without the skills that he needs.
Great. Then just understand that what you are actually exploring is, given that I'm not going to kick him out, how good can I make it? Which is different to, I want to make this wonderful, but if we can't, I'm prepared to end it. Do you understand the distinction?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so great. So that takes a lot of the pressure off you. Because you don't have to, you know, make this work. Because worst case, you're going to carry on as it is. You know that.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense.
So
yeah.
Really, anything you try is bonus points. you know, it's like, if I get a smile one morning, hey, I'm ahead. You know, so in a way, it sounds funny, but you've got an easier game to play. Because you have a lower target. It's like better. I just want better.
Well, see, you know what it is, though? My sister. Kids are so, well, she really like kept him like attached to her apron strings, and I think that's why I kind of gave him, especially that my sister has four sons, and they're all like right on top of her all the time. And so with him, I said, no, I don't want that for him. I want him to be very, very independent. Independence is really
right.
Good.
And you've got what you wanted. Once
exactly.
Again, my point. You can have what you want. Congratulations, Catherine. Well, okay, I'll be moving on now to Jeanette.
No, exactly. But the thing is I got it so much that, you know, there's like that little bit of loss. You know,
okay, but here's the thing, Catherine.
Uh-huh.
Is you have already demonstrated that you can create the kind of relationship that you want.
Uh-huh.
Now, you've changed your mind. You kind of got that and went, oh, wow, okay, I appreciate that he's independent, but I'd love some other relational skills to kick in here.
Uh-huh.
He might not have them, but that doesn't mean that he can't learn them.
Well, how do I develop that in him? Because, see, I was... always very independent, but I was still very affectionate.
Okay, but here's the thing, Catherine. The way you phrase the question has the answer in it. How can I develop that in him? You can't. You're not him. He uh-huh. can if he wants to. So what you can do is you can foster an environment in which it's more likely that he will want to develop those skills. Do you understand the difference?
Yeah, I do.
And one, if you try and develop those skills in him, he will fight you kicking and screaming because he's a human being and that's what we do. We bite the hand that feeds us. It tastes so good. Yum. But if you're willing to instead shift your focus off trying to make him do anything and just start putting that same amount of brain power into, okay, what kind of a situation, what kind of a, you know, environment would make him want to reach out, would make him want to, you know, relate. And I'm going to tell you that it's probably going to be to do with getting what he wants in the relationship. You know, there's one thing to say, hey, you know, you can, you know, you, look, bottom line, you can stay here as long as you want. I'm not kicking you out, at least mm-hmm. not till whatever.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I have to, you know, do anything for you. That doesn't mean I have to look after you. That doesn't mean I have to pay for any of your stuff. That doesn't mean I have to do this. So you still, if you're still in parent-kid mode instead of adult-adult mode,
uh-huh.
Well, you can play some parent-kid games.
I think we're like, it's like in the middle. There's, you know, it's like it goes either way at times, you know. But I think there's times that I need to go either way with it.
Right, and that's I agree with you. So here's what I'm doing now. I'm handing this back over to you,
mm-hmm.
but with an understanding of exactly what it is, the game it is you're playing, which is just the within the constraint that he ain't going anywhere unless he moves out. In other words, I'm not kicking him out. How good can I get it? And then the second bit is recognizing that your goal, your job, is not to teach him anything. It's simply to play with creating a space in which he might actually want to learn. And I think you're going to find that a very, very different and a whole lot less stressful endeavor.
Yeah, I know. That sounds very interesting. I didn't look at it that way.
All right. Thank you very much, Catherine.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. You have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Okay. We will be back. Jeanette, you're next up. So please hang on. I'll be back with more of your calls and more of your thoughts after the break. If you like the kind of things that I'm talking about on the show and the kind of things we talk about every week, you can find out more at www.geniuscatalyst.com. And there's an archive of tips, and there's an online course, and there's CDs, and there's just all sorts of fun stuff. Also, this month, if you look at the Hay House website, there's a special offer. If you buy the new Effortless Success 6 CD set, I think they'll give you a free copy of Feel Happy Now, which is my new book just out in the United States this month. One thought to take with you into the break. There are absolutely times in any relationship where evaluating how things are going is going to be extremely worthwhile. But if you find yourself questioning your relationships too frequently on a weekly or even a daily basis, you might have already realized that the relationship isn't going to go where you want it to go. But you just don't want the responsibility of actually being the one to decide to end it, just in case you're wrong and this turns out to have been the one. So after the break, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what to do if that's you. If you want to get in the last segment, 866-254-1579. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about how to not get divorced and really about how to make your relationships more wonderful. And we're going to go straight back to the phones. Let's talk to Jeanette in Memphis, Tennessee. Jeanette, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hello. Thank
Hello.
You. Hi. I'm in this relationship and it's really not going too good at all.
Mm-hmm.
I have been married once, and of course, I had a hard time after I got divorced just to get back out on the dating scene.
Yeah.
So I wasn't meeting, you know, how should I say, very quality guys. So I ran into this
very politely put. I like that.
Exactly. And so I ran into this guy. I wasn't looking for anyone, and we met up. We were staying in different states. We met up at this sort of like sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, initially wasn't even attracted to him, I must admit. But he was very persistent. He swapped me off my seat, per se.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't show him much interest at all, but he kept calling me. He kept trying to interact with me, get my attention. And he did things that I wasn't used to other guys doing as far as, like, treating a woman like a queen. He
mm-hmm.
was buying things. And that's what he started off doing, buying things. And, of course, I had no man in my life ever to really do much for me as far as financially. So
yeah.
Building things, buying things, expensive things and everything. So I must admit that was one of my initial attractions to him.
Yeah.
And interest. And we just kept dating and I grew to fall for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided we would get married and he proposed to me in a very romantic way. And of course I got engaged to him and immediately he wanted me to move in. I didn't think that was the right thing to do. Actually, being the kind of person I am, the spiritual kind of person I am, I didn't think that was the right thing. But after going through so many different, you know, trials and tribulations in my life with men and relationship, I decided, you know, why not do something that I had never done before? Maybe it'll work out. Who knows? So I went ahead and I moved in with him. And I don't know if it was a curse or maybe it could have been a blessing because now I'm with him. We've been together for 3 years. We've been engaged for 3 years. We got engaged on immediately, but the marriage we've been kind of holding off. He moved to a different city, which I'm staying here now, Memphis, and he got a job there, and he's been working.
Okay, so Jeanette, get to the question part because so far what you're describing is a long engagement to a man who treats you like a queen. I'm guessing you're not phoning just to gloat.
No.
So where can I be of assistance?
Okay. The question is, now we've been together for this long, and it's like I don't even know him. No emotional connection. We barely even talk or speak. He treats me like I'm a business transaction, basically. He's all into work and then sports, and that's about it. When we're together, it's no emotional connection. Physically, he doesn't really try to touch me at all. I'm lucky once a month. And, I mean, it's no kind of connection. I have discussed this with him time and time again about the emotional connection not being there.
Okay.
And
let me ask you a question, Jeanette. Why are you still there?
I ask myself that question too. It's crazy being here. It's such a good situation other than that. Which is crazy.
What, you mean so basically you're staying because you got a nice place to stay?
Yeah, I got my.
All right, well, look, I'm not going to judge you for that. I'm just going to say, understand what you're doing.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
Let me tell you a story. This actually is a story. I don't know if I've ever told this one on the air before, but it's a story I wind up telling most of my clients who are in relationship situations, and it actually comes from, not the way I'm going to tell it, but it's based on the work of Don Miguel Ruiz. And a wonderful book he wrote called The Mastery of Relationships. Okay, I want you to imagine a situation, Jeanette. Okay, I want you to imagine you're in your apartment and there's a knock at the door, and you go, "Who is it?" And they go, "Pizza guy." And you go, "I didn't order pizza." And they go, I know, but it's free. Well, it's not quite free. I mean, it's free. You don't have to pay for it, but you got to let me be kind of like mentally and emotionally abusive to you."
Mm-hmm.
And would you take the pizza?
No, I would not.
No, but let me ask you this. What if you hadn't eaten for 3 weeks and you didn't know where you would get a chance to eat again? Would you consider taking the pizza?
I would consider it.
Okay, fantastic. That is how a lot of these relationships happen. Is you let someone into your life, you let the pizza guy into your life, because at the time, that seems like the best way to get your need for emotional or physical or mental sustenance met. Once they're there, what often happens, and I don't know if this is the pattern in your relationship, but what often happens is after a time when you've eaten, you know, you go, "What am I doing? Why am I here? This is ridiculous. I'm going to leave." But then, you know, because you haven't learned to feed yourself in that way, you know, at some point the pizza guy comes back and goes, "Just checking." And you go, "Oh, all right, come in again." Because that pizza starts looking pretty good. Here's the way out. Okay. And the way out is really simple. Is you've got a kitchen in your apartment, and you can cook. And now it may take you a little while to learn to cook something other than mac and cheese. Do you know what I mean? We're still talking metaphor here, but you know, it may take a little bit of time, and it may, you know, not always be brilliant when you first do it. But when you start realizing that you can meet those needs for yourself. There is no way that you're going to put up with that kind of crap for more than 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Okay.
And
so,
I know I can. It's like, you know, it's almost kind of embarrassing that I put myself in this predicament, and then it's like.
No, but here's the thing. It's not embarrassing. It's a choice. Okay. And right now, up until now, you've been making the choice to, you know, take the apartment and, you know, put up with the guy who lives in the same apartment with you in order to have it. That's fine. But if you are feeling frustrated there, if you know, rather than get mad at him or even get mad at yourself, just know in any moment you can just make another choice. You can just leave. And you will be able to take care of yourself. You will be able to do what you need to do. And my experience of the people I have worked with in those kinds of situations is you will be within a month so thrilled that you did it and wondering why the heck you stayed as long as you did. Now, that's not to say you should leave. That's not to say you have to leave. I'm just saying, based on what you've told me, when and if you decide to make that choice, you're gonna be really glad that you did. But if you decide not to make that choice for whatever reason, don't beat yourself up about it. Don't make yourself miserable. Don't make him miserable. Don't be, you know, just know, okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm hanging out in this guy's apartment because he lets me.
Exactly. That's kind of what I had made up my mind to do. Of course, eventually I plan on just leaving. But while I'm getting myself mentally ready to do that, I mean, I have accepted the way he's acting. I'm just going to, you know, because all we are doing is...
Look, absolutely. Look, fair enough, Jeanette. I mean, it's...
But I want to be real about that, and I just... And I'm going to act...
Right. Absolutely. That's all. That's all I would say is as long as you know what you're doing and you're not kidding yourself that it's anything other than that, you know, good on you. You know, and when
you tell me why that could have changed, why he was so persistent and trying to sweep me off my feet, and then once he got me, it's like, okay.
Yeah, because he's a look. I'm not gonna. I was about to say yeah, because he's a guy. That's unfair on men. look, because he's a hunter. Okay, because men tend to be hunters, women tend to be gatherers. And hunters hunt, and once they get their pelt, they put it up on the wall, and they go hunting again. I'm not saying he's going after other women. I'm just saying that's a cultural thing, and unless he's got some self-awareness around it, he'll be doing it in complete innocence, not knowing that there's anything kind of odd about it. That will just seem like the most natural thing in the world to him.
Oh, okay.
All right, Jeanette. Okay. Thank you very much for phoning in.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your advice.
You bet. Okay, let's go to William in Stuart, Florida. William, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hey, Michael, how are you doing today?
I am well.
Well, I've got a question. It's relationship-based, but not. It's work-based.
Okay.
I'm a restaurant manager as well as a massage therapist. I've spoken to you before, actually, ages ago.
Okay.
And I wish to leave my restaurant job.
Mm-hmm.
Or divorce myself from it, shall we say.
Yeah,
and
there
I feel highly obligated to stay due to a series of events that has recently happened. And I'm just stuck in the quandary. I kind of need a little catalyzing wisdom to get my butt moving, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
Okay, did the owner just save your grandmother's life with a kidney transplant?
No, he did not, but he did just make it difficult by firing several other key players, leaving me one of the few people that know how things run.
Right. So that obligates you how specifically?
I feel honor bound.
Okay. And that's because of the covenant you made with God to manage this restaurant to the best of your ability for the rest of your life?
No. Because I gave my word that I would be there.
To whom, when, under what circumstances?
To him for one season before I moved to Chicago.
Okay. And have you been there one season?
This is the middle of that season,
right.
But I'm just that keyed up about it because we're two completely different individuals with completely different spiritual, emotional, ethical mm-hmm. concepts.
Right. So here's I'm gonna break it down as simply as I can.
No, please. Please. Not what I'm looking for.
This is one of those ones where it almost doesn't matter what you decide to do.
Right.
Because if you decide, what matters is, you know, the energy with which you do whichever thing you decide to do.
Okay. Absolutely.
If you decide to stay because you're honoring your commitment, then get that that's what you're doing and enjoy the struggle.
Okay.
Enjoy, you know, in other words, celebrate the hardship. Celebrate that your will and your commitment is so strong that you can even put up with someone like him.
Okay.
And do everything you can to learn from him and to make sure that the next job you go into, the next job you marry, that maybe you spend a little more time dating it first
right.
so you kind of know what you're getting into before you get engaged.
Okay. Okay.
If you decide to leave, get that there are different levels of commitment that we make in life.
Right.
And there the kind of casual, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'll do this. Is different to the, I absolutely want to be here for you, for this, for myself, to I'm making a covenant with God, and
right.
which, you know, I'm not making a contract with my partner, I'm making a covenant with God.
Okay.
And those are just different levels. And, you know, if you leave, just get, oh, I guess that wasn't a covenant with God. you know, you don't have to beat yourself up about it. You know, you
right.
did. I'm not saying, hey, just, you know, make commitments and break them. But you don't strike me from the two times we've talked or whatever that's you.
No, absolutely.
It's just okay. You spoke your intention to work there in language that sounded like a commitment. If you didn't mean it, or you meant it at the time, but it's not right for you, go. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be flip about it, but it really is.
I love it. Thank you. That's okay. It's kind of exactly, I mean, it's funny. I was home, I just finished clients, I'm on my way in, and I heard you on Hay House, and I'm like, I'm just going to ask you.
Perfect. There you go. That's what I say. William.
Yep, I appreciate it, Michael. Thank you so very much.
You bet. Go forth and be free.
I think that's it. Thanks.
All right. Bye. So I'll just finish up the show, and my apologies to those of you who did not get on. Please feel free to phone in any week. I'm always happy to answer questions and do some coaching as best I can. If one or more of your relationships I mentioned before the last break is in the category of boy, I'm evaluating how things are going every 5 minutes, something you can do is consciously and intentionally go into wait and see mode. So even though I've been talking about, you know, there's a wait and see mode doesn't work, you've got to decide that you want it to be wonderful, give yourself a specific time frame within which you're going to make the decision. So you can wait and see. You can go, you know what, I'm going to give it a month. But don't wait and see as a way of being in the relationship. Also, I'm going to do the disclaimer now. You know, here, let me get your commitment and then a disclaimer. So you've listened to the show and now a disclaimer. Simply making the decision to make your relationship wonderful is not a guarantee that it will last forever or always be wonderful. What it does guarantee is that all of the molehills that inevitably arise from spending time with people who aren't you don't turn into mountain ranges of trouble that are going to separate you from the people that you choose to have in your life. So my thanks to Steve, Joe, and Sonny in the studio. We will be back with a brand new show next week. Will we be back? Yes, we will be back with a brand new show next week. And if you want to find out more about me and what I do, come visit me at www.geniuscatalyst.com. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll speak with you then.